Shall we continue with the reading of a further part of this chapter, Matthew 24, from verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. This second part of this chapter begins to make mention of the prophecy of Daniel. We have seen already that the first part of this chapter gives a general answer on the questions of the disciples. And the last part of that general part speaks of the end of age, and it speaks of he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. So, verse 13 and 14 speak of the end, the ultimate end of this age. And as a matter of fact, these verses have answered the question. Not completely, but they were an answer. They were giving an answer. And the last part, I should make mention of it, namely verse 14, it tells us this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel which is mentioned in verse 13, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And I must make a comment on it, because there are Christians today who think that the gospel, they don't say which gospel, that the gospel should be preached all over the world, to every nation, before the Lord comes back, and whatever that may be or may mean. And some make it to mean that we should preach the gospel over the world, all over the world, before the Lord comes on the clouds of heaven to take his church home. And this is not true. And I'm very glad that this is not true, because this should mean that the Lord shall not come back before we have done certain works. It makes the return of Christ dependable of our works. And this may mean that the Lord shall never come back because we do not preach the gospel to all the nations. And when we interpret the preaching of the gospel to all the nations as meaning that every nation should be converted first, and some think it means that, then I'm sure the Lord will never come back. And then I should say, let's not preach the gospel so that the Lord will not come back, and we can go on in this world. Well, it doesn't mean this. It is said that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached among all nations. It is not said that all nations shall believe this gospel. It is said that all nations shall have heard this gospel. And we should know about the sending of 70 of the disciples who were sent in the first place to Israel, and it is said to them that they should go in a town or in a village and preach the gospel and leave it if the inhabitants of the town or village wouldn't believe the gospel. They should go on and on and on, because their purpose was not that everyone should believe. Their purpose was simply that everyone should have heard the gospel. And as I said a week ago, our responsibility is not to make everyone believe. Our responsibility is to preach the word of God. Well, it is said here that the word of God, a special part of the word of God, namely the gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached to all nations before the end of the age comes. That means before 1,000 years, to say it simple. But it is the gospel of the kingdom. We are not involved in the fulfilling of this verse. It's not about the church. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the church. So, let's go to verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, and I must say, we shall never see, if we are believers, we shall never see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Because this abomination of desolation shall stand in the holy place, as it is said here, but that it shall stand in the holy place after the rapture of the saints. I should explain this. In the first place, we should note that Daniel is called a prophet in this verse, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. As a matter of fact, according to Jewish theology, Daniel is no prophet at all. The book of Daniel is belongs to the Psalms. It is not a part of the prophets in the Jewish according to Jewish opinion. There's a good reason for it, because the book of Daniel for a great part is history. A part of Daniel is history. And some think that even the prophecies of Daniel are history at the moment. That is to say, they believe that the prophecies of Daniel are already fulfilled. But in Daniel itself, it is said that the prophet should be sealed, which means that in the days of Daniel and in days afterwards, people shouldn't understand the prophecies of Daniel. But they should be revealed, the seal should be broken in the last days. In the last days, yes. And as I said before, the last days began with the birth of Christ. And he is the one who teaches us that Daniel is a prophet. And he asks us to pay special attention to it. Daniel the prophet. And it is said, whoso readeth, let him understand. Special attention drawn to the book and prophecies of the prophet Daniel. Well, this Daniel is speaking about the abomination of desolation. It's not a very clear term, but it's a term which occurs in, well, Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 11, chapter 12 as well. But we shall turn to Daniel chapter 9. We should know the meaning of Daniel chapter 9 before it is possible to know the meaning of Matthew 24. And as I said before, this part of Matthew 24 is based on the prophets, especially the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. And here we find chronology. Dates, chronology. It is said in Daniel 9, verse 24, 70 weeks or 77ths are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Which people? The people of Daniel. So this prophecy speaks of Israel, or more in particular, the Jew. For Daniel was a Jew, which means he was from the stem, from the tribe of Judah, and he was once a member of the two tribes, the kingdom of the two tribes of Israel, and the descendants of those two tribes are called Jews, even today. A Jew is an Israelite, but an Israelite is not a Jew. He needs not to be a Jew, you see, because a Jew is a member of the two tribes of Israel, but there shall be 12 tribes, although they are maybe not known at the moment. So this prophecy speaks of the Jews, the two tribes of Israel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the people of Daniel, and thy holy city. And thy holy city is, of course, Jerusalem, which was the capital of the two tribes of Israel. And even today, it is the capital of the Jewish nation. It's the same today. Well, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. That is to say, after 77ths, the transgression should be finished. The transgressions of the two tribes of Israel. Nothing more. This verse is telling us nothing more. Maybe there is anything more, but this verse doesn't tell us. 70 weeks are determined to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the visions and prophecy, which means that afterwards the vision should no longer be sealed and should be comprehended and known by the people, and to anoint the Most Holy. And all these things should be fulfilled after 70 times 7, after 70 weeks or after 77ths. And, well, there are different things mentioned, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things, as I'm right. But all these things should be fulfilled in the same time, after 70 weeks. And then comes an explanation of those 70 weeks. It is said in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations," here we find the word which is used in Matthew 24, "and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate." Well, this prophecy is about the time which should pass before the erection of the kingdom of Christ over or in the Jewish nation, the two tribes of Israel. Maybe even the 12 tribes, but let's make no point of this question. 70 weeks, which means 70 times 7, and that's very simple, even in English.
490.
In the first place, we should know that a week in Scripture simply means a seven. And our question is, seven what? And there are different answers, which all can be true. For the Scripture knows of a week of days, just like we in Dutch and in English, a week of days. But the Scripture also knows about a week of month, and Scripture knows of a week of years, 7 years, and after 6 years, the Sabbath year, or sabbatical year, the seventh year. So we have a week of years in Scripture, and according to some, the Scripture knows even of a week of 1,000 years, which means 7 times 1,000 years, and the last or the 7,000th year is the millennial kingdom of Christ here on earth. I'm not quite sure about it, but maybe it's correct. It can be correct, because a week means a seven. And as a matter of fact, Scripture speaks of weeks of years. Jacob was supposed to work another week for his uncle, Laban, to get his second wife. Laban tells Jacob, fulfill the week of this one. I don't know if your translation gives the same word, but our Dutch translation does. Fulfill the week of this one, which means work another 7 years for his second wife. And as a matter of fact, in the law, is spoken about seven weeks of years, and so on. Well, you could study this subject for yourself. What I'm trying to say is that in Daniel 9, the weeks are weeks of years. It's very remarkable to see the following verses in the beginning of chapter 10. Yes, verse 3, I think. It is not quite correct translated, I see. But in verse 3 of chapter 10 are weeks of days mentioned. In our Dutch translations, it is translated like this, weeks of days. Here we find only the word weeks. Three whole weeks were fulfilled. In our Dutch version, it is drie weken der dagen. 3 weeks of days were fulfilled, for this is what Hebrew tells us. And there's a good reason for mentioning the days, for mentioning that these weeks are weeks of days, because in the foregoing verses, the weeks mentioned there are weeks of years. Daniel 9 gives us weeks of years. And that means that 70 times 7 years are determined over Israel or over the Jews to bring over them the kingdom of Christ. 490 years to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins of the two tribes, of course, and to make reconciliation of the Jews, and to bring in everlasting righteousness to the Jews, and to seal up the vision and prophecy to the Jews, and to anoint the Most Holy to the Jews, of course. And to anoint, that's the word Messiah, Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew, and in English, Christ. To anoint the Most Holy. It speaks of the revelation of Christ to Israel during his coming, during his presence, of course. Well, there follows an explanation for the first question. Our first question is, when should these 490 years start? And then it is said, know therefore and understand. You see, two words. Know and understand, not only know, but understand as well, know and understand that from the going forth of the commandment. So the 490 years are to be reckoned from the going forth of the commandment. Which commandment? To restore and to build Jerusalem. You see? The 490 years do not begin with the rebuilding of the temple. They do not begin with the return from the exile to Jerusalem or to the Holy Land. They do not even begin with the restoration or rebuilding of Jerusalem. They begin with the going forth of the commandments, some decree. The decree in which or by which Israel or the Jews get a message to rebuild or restore Jerusalem, no matter no matter if they really did, you see. Well, they did. There was a decree. There was a going forth of a commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, and they built and restored Jerusalem. But not the rebuilding of Jerusalem, not the coming back from Babylon, not the rebuilding of the temple is the beginning of this period of 490 years, but the going forth of the commandment. And I draw special attention to these words because there are very many misconceptions relating to this prophecy. Very many. For different reasons, and one of the reasons is that people do not read the Word of God. They think they read, but they do not. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, do we have any such commandment in Scripture? Yes, only in Nehemiah chapter 2, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. As a matter of fact, this was the year 445 BC, and in that year, in the month Nisan, which is the first month of the Jewish calendar, Nehemiah received the word of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. You can read it for yourself. There's no problem in it. No difficulty. The difficulties arise in the end of the of the reckoning, you see. When people think, well, I've made a nice calculation and it seems not to be true. And then they are going to alter the words of Scripture. Then they say, well, it is saying the going forth of the commandment, but it should be the restoration of Jerusalem, because it doesn't fit otherwise. But no problem. From the going forth of the commandment in the first month of the year 445 BC, from that time there should pass 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is not 70. Mr. Morrow, he isn't here. He has passed away already. But there are many who take this to mean 70 weeks. But there are 69 weeks, 7 and 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks unto the Messiah, the Prince. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And then the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous time. And I take it to mean that during the first 7 years, the street was built again and the wall in troublous times. And that after the rebuilding of the city, there passed another 62 weeks until Messiah the Prince. Not until the finishing of the transgressions, and not until the end of sins, or the reconciliation of iniquity, or the bringing in of the everlasting righteousness. For that should last 70 weeks, and not 69. And many haven't seen this, you see. Many books, many commentaries go wrong because they don't see the difference between 69 and 70. I'm sorry to say so, but it's very simple. Well, 69 weeks, which is 483 years, from 445 BC unto Messiah the Prince. Simple words. When was that, Messiah the Prince? Which date? Which month, for instance? We know the month in which this reckoning begins. So we ask him, which month was Messiah the Prince? Well, it is given to us. It's rather difficult, but there can only be one event during the life of Christ which fits in, which can be called Messiah the Prince. One event in which Messiah was and acted as the Prince. And that was the entrance in Jerusalem. The entrance in Jerusalem was on a Sunday, the Sunday before the Passover. As a matter of fact, 4 days before the Passover. And as the Passover is always on the 14th of the first month, this entrance, so-called entrance in Jerusalem, was on the 10th of the first month of the Jewish calendar, which is 10 Nisan. And this month is called Aviv, or Abib as well. The month has two different names, you see. The 10th of the first month. Well, we should study scripture in this subject. The 10th of the first month is very often mentioned in scripture. It was the day on which Israel should take the Passover lamb in the house. We find this in Exodus chapter 12, for instance. They should take the lamb in their house. And this taking in the house of the lamb is a type of the so-called entrance in Jerusalem. Because this same day, the 10th of the first month, was the last day of the first 69 weeks of Daniel, which means that there were only 7 years, another 7 years, 1 week, to go until the fulfilling of Daniel 9, verse 24, to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and so on, and so on. Well, I need not go into this, but I owe a lot to Sir Robert Anderson, an Englishman, Dr. Robert Anderson, KCB, LLD, some titles, who in 1876 wrote a book which is called The Coming Prince. He was a young man in that moment. He was younger than I am now. And he wrote a book, The Coming Prince, and that coming prince was not Christ. The coming prince was the prince who should come according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. The prince that shall come. He studied these verses, and he made a calculation from the day on which the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem was going forth, which was the first of Nisan in the year
445
until the 10th Nisan of the year in which the Christ entered or was supposed to enter Jerusalem, which was the 10th Nisan in the year 32 AD. Well, I can't defend this date, these figures. There's no time for it, and I think you wouldn't be interested at all. It is very interesting, but when we reckon the days which passed between the first Nisan of 445 BC until 10 Nisan, year 32 AD, we shall find that the passed exactly 173,888 days. But there were, or there should be, according to prophecy, according to Daniel 9, there should be 69 years. So we divide 173,880 through 69, by 69, and what do we find? 360, which means that a year, according to prophecy, lasts 360 years. And that's quite correct, for it is, we find this again in the following verses, which declare us, or from which it is quite obvious, that a year, according to prophecy, lasts 360 days. And we see that according to this calculation, I've got the calculation here, you can write it over, you can copy it if you want, that according to this calculation, exactly 60 of I check it verkeerd, eh? I put it the wrong way, I think. That exactly 69 times 7, which is 483 years, that exactly 483 years of 360 days each passed between the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. There's no difficulty. It's complicated, that's correct. But it's not difficult. And this means that the first 69 weeks of Daniel were fulfilled in the days of our Lord. And to be more exact, they were fulfilled on the day in which the Lord uttered his second sermon on the Mount in Matthew 24. It's one day after the fulfillment of the first part of this prophecy. And we should know that the entrance in Jerusalem was no entrance in Jerusalem. It was a ride on a donkey, which ended on the Mount of Olives and before the gate of Jerusalem. He stopped and he cried. The Lord wept over the city because they didn't know. What didn't they know? Shall try to find it in, I think, Luke 21, if I'm right. No, it is Luke 19. Verse 41. And when he was come near, not when he had come in, but when he was come near on the Mount of Olives, he beheld the city. That's what you do when you are on the Mount of Olives. Look to the city from above. He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even at least in this thy day, the word thou isn't in the manuscript, you see, saying, if thou hadst known, even at least in this thy day, even in this thy day. There's a threefold attention on this day. This thy day, even this thy day. Which day? Well, the 10th of the first month, the day on which Israel should take the lamp, the Passover lamp in their houses, and more particular, the last day of the 69 weeks. They didn't know. Maybe there have been some scribes who told them that you couldn't even know the dates on which God should fulfill his own prophecies. But they should know. That's what the Lord says. If thou hadst known, even at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. What? Or which things are hid from their eyes? The things belonging to the kingdom. The things respecting the kingdom as such. But now it is hid. Because the kingdom is hid after the 69th week. And we live this moment after the 69th week of Daniel. And now is the kingdom hid. And Israel has no peace. Why not? Verse 44. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Not because thou knewest not thy visitation, but because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And in verse 44 we find, or for 43 we find the words, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. And the day afterwards, the disciples came to him and asked him, when shall these things happen? And what shall be the sign of thy presence, and what shall be the sign of the age? Because on that day, they lived after the 69 weeks of Daniel. It should or could have been, it's very theoretically, it could have been the first day of the 70th week. They must have thought it was, but it wasn't. For we go back to Daniel chapter 9, where we read in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, which means totally after 69 weeks, because there were 7 weeks and 62. 7 and 60 and what was it? 62 weeks. Thus, after 62 weeks, which means totally after 69 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Well, it's correct. 5 days after the 62 weeks, Messiah was cut off. That speaks of the crucifixion. He was cut off. Not he died, but he was cut off. The same term could have been used for the stem of Jesse. The house, the royal house of David. And out of the root of this tree, there should come a new branch, as depicted in the stars of heaven, as we saw yesterday evening. Messiah should be cut off. And he was an heir of the throne of David, and he should be cut off. Not die, but cut off. He should die, that's the way how he was cut off. That's correct. But he was cut off. But it couldn't be the end of the story, Because we are here in the end of the 69th week and not in the end of the 70th week. There are still 7 years, 1 week or 7 years, to go until the end of the present age for the Jews. Messiah should be cut off, and he was crucified. And they cried, "We do not want him to be king over us. Crucify him." See? And then it is said, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. It's not a correct translation. The translators were in difficulty, in trouble, because they didn't understand the verse. But what is said in Hebrew is, he shall not have. And he shall not have. And it's very, very simple. The question occurs to us, what shall he not have? What is it? And it's very simple. We are told about Messiah, the prince. The prince means the one who shall inherit the throne. And Messiah, the prince, appears and is cut off. Well, what doesn't he have in that moment? Very simple. His kingdom. He shall not have his kingdom. And instead of this Messiah, instead of this anointed, it's exactly the same in a different language, instead of this Messiah, the prince, the anointed prince, came another prince and another people. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Well, I think these things are fulfilled for a part in the past, in the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70 AD. But the first question, the most important question respecting this verse is, why are not we told that these things of verse 26 happen in the 70th week? You know, after the 69th week, there will be the 70th week. But it isn't said, in the 70th week shall Messiah be cut off, and so on. But it is said after 62 weeks, which means after the 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, and he shall not have his kingdom. Why these words? Why are these words chosen? Well, for one reason, this should happen after 69 weeks, and before the 70th week even began. Because the 70th week is mentioned in verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the week we should expect. There's no difficulty in this week. We all know which week is meant in verse 27. It is the 70th, the last week of the 70 weeks of Daniel. The last 7 years before the kingdom of Christ should be erected and revealed over Israel. But there are things prophesied here in verse 26 which should occur, which should come to pass between the 69th and the 70th week. Well, there's nothing new here. Because when we study chronology in Scripture, we shall find that according to God's way of reckoning, sometimes periods of the history of Israel are skipped over, are left out. They form no part of God's chronology. Because the chronology of God respecting Israel is a chronology which only knows years in which Israel obeyed the Lord their God. It's not fully correct, but I've not more time to go in this subject, you see. But many periods in the history of Israel are skipped over, are not reckoned. For an example, the period from the birth of Ishmael to the driving out of Ishmael, the son of Abraham, is not reckoned. The period in the desert during the traveling of Israel from Egypt to Canaan is not reckoned. Many periods during the times of the judges are not reckoned. And when 1 Kings 6 verse 1 tells us that there were 480 years between the erecting of the Temple of Salomo and the going out from Egypt, then we should see that when we consider all that the Scriptures gives us, that this whole period didn't last 480 years, but did last more than 600 years, according to the books of Judges. You see, the whole point is that some periods are left out. They are not reckoned. And as a matter of fact, we are living today in a period which is not reckoned respecting Israel. It is reckoned, of course, but not in the chronology of Israel. The chronology of Israel has stopped. Imagine a clock, as used in playing chess. The clock is stopped. God stopped the clock on the day of the entrance in Jerusalem, the so-called entrance in Jerusalem, and the clock stands still. We find the 70th week, which is still future in our days. It is said, and he shall confirm, and he is no doubt the prince that shall come, of the foregoing verse. Some call him Antichrist. And he shall confirm, which is a wrong translation. It should, the best translation is to ratify. The words in Hebrew are, he shall make strong a covenant. Some translated, he shall make a strong covenant. But to make a covenant strong is the term for to ratify a covenant, which means that the covenant becomes legal. And he shall ratify not the covenant. The word the doesn't occur in Hebrew. And he shall ratify covenant, a covenant, with the many, not many, but the many. He shall ratify a covenant with the many. A covenant is a covenant which Israel and a future prince, a future king, shall make together, and it shall be a covenant for the time of 7 years. That is to say, they hope that it will last 7 years. It will not last 7 years, according to this verse. But there shall be such a covenant. It's mentioned elsewhere in prophecies, you see. He shall ratify a covenant with the many. Not many, but the many. And the many means not that there are many. It means those many form a unity. The many. And I take it to mean that the many is the Jewish nation. It consists of many, not all. As a matter of fact, a minority of the Jews which are in the world today. A minority, but there are many. I think 3.5 million this moment. The many which form a unity, a nation. And this prince which shall come shall confirm or ratify a covenant with the many, with the unbelieving Jewish nation. An unbelieving nation. Why an unbelieving nation? Because
Israel will be a believing nation after 70 weeks, not after 69. According to this prophecy, it is very simple. So it is an unbelieving nation which makes a covenant with the prince that shall come. And it should be a covenant for 1 week, which means for 7 years, but he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. How this will be done and how this shall be caused can we not discuss in this moment. But he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. Overspreading, the word overspreading is in our Dutch versions translated what it literally means, a wing. A wing. A wing is that which overspreads. Think of a chicken. A bird, you see, and the young birds, which have a shelter, find a shelter under the wings, the overspreading of the mother. The overspreading is the translation of a word which means wings, and it has this sense of protection. Protection by the wings, you see. I will take a concordance and look up the word wing in Scripture. You shall find this to be true. It means protection. The protection of abominations. And the word abomination always means, in the first place, idols. There's, in fact, there is no other meaning. For an idol is always an abomination in the eyes of God. And the overspreading of abominations is a term which simply means the protection of idols. Of gods who are no gods at all. Gods who cannot give any protection at all. The Lord God, Jehovah God, promised to protect Israel, to gather them under his wings. Our Lord uses the same words. He should give them protection. But this so-called protection is a so-called protection of idols. They are no gods at all, and they can't give protection. But for the overspreading of abominations, for the protection of idols, in fact, adultery, he shall make it desolate. And what's prophesied here is that Israel shall flee, shall seek for shelter with other gods, which means, amongst others, with other nations. They seek the protection of other nations and the gods of other nations, of course, and they do this even today. They are wrong. And because they do it even today, God shall make it desolate. It's a promise, a negative promise. But it is a prophecy, and it shall be fulfilled. And as I said before, we find a description of it in the well-known prophecy of Zechariah 14. Jerusalem shall be taken, and in that day the feet of our Lord shall stand upon Mount of Olives. You see, this shall happen. It's quite clear. There's nothing dark in it. It's quite clear. This shall happen when? In the end, in the last part, in the end of the 70th week of Daniel, which is future. When shall this happen? Exactly in the midst of the week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And what we find now is that in future, there is another period of 7 years to go for Israel, a period in which chronology is reckoned, in which the clock is running, in which there are believing Jews even, days in which the Lord is dealing with Israel 7 years in future.
Somewhere. Should take more room.
And those 7 years start with the confirming of a covenant between the coming prince, let's say Antichrist, and Israel.
And in the midst of these 7 years, we find that this covenant will be broken.
And in the
that means that in the last 3.5 years, Israel is, the Jewish nation, of course, is open to persecution again, to tribulation, to
desolation, in fact, for that's the end of the 70th week, desolation. And as soon as someone is desolate, he can inherit eternal life. The same is true for Israel.
And it shall come to pass that Israel shall be made desolate, and that the town, Jerusalem, the capital, shall be destroyed in the end of the 70th week. And then shall they call upon the Lord, and then shall he come on the Mount of Olives, draw a mount here, which shall split,
and the believing rest of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall flee through the broken Mount of Olives unto the desert. And from there shall the Lord gather his people, his nation again.
Well, this we should keep in mind, that there are 7 years to go for Israel and for no other nation, for the Jewish nation, for in fact the unbelieving Jewish nation, 7 years to go until the coming again of Christ on the Mount of Olives. That's the correct date.
And then, over just a moment, I must make mention of our connection with Matthew 24, because in Matthew 24 it is said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Well, this abomination of desolation has to do with idols, and the result of this idolatry. And this abomination of desolation, in fact, is a thing which stands in the holy place. That's where the temple is, or shall be, or was.
It shall stand on the holy place, and it has to do with idols, which means that simply an afgodsbeeld, what is that? A statue of an idol will be erected in the place of the temple. That's all. And this is mentioned in what we read, chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 27. It's repeated in chapter 11, and it is mentioned in chapter 12, and it is mentioned in even chapter 8 of Daniel. It is repeated very often, and it shall come to pass in the midst of the week. So the total 7 weeks to go for Israel are divided in 3.5 years, in which there is a kind of peace in the Jewish nation because they have a covenant with some other nation. And after those 3.5 years, this covenant will be broken, and then there will be 3.5 years of tribulation, and this is known as the Great Tribulation of Israel. A very simple fact.
The last 3.5 years are 42 months or 1260 days. And as you can see, this means again that 1 year lasts 360 days. So
7 years or 360 days to go. That means that when we know the first day of this 70th week, we know the dates of the other events. Very simple. Do we know the first day of the 70th week? I do not. Not, no, no. But we shall turn again to Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Let him understand that abomination in the eyes of God is always idolatry. It has to do with idols. And the result of it is always desolation. Well, when will this be? There's a simple answer. This will be in the midst of the 70th week. This abomination of desolation. So there's a date given here. When we know the first day of the 70th week, we know when this abomination of desolation will be erected. When this statue will be erected. As a matter of fact, this statue is already mentioned in Daniel chapter 2. A literally statue. And it is mentioned in Revelation, I think it's Revelation chapter 13, the last part. There we find exactly the same thing, the same event described and explained. Well, this is in the midst of the 70th week. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, let them which be in Judea. So we see it has really to do with Judea, and Judea is literally the name for the land in which the Jews live. The name Jew is derived from the name Judah, and the name Judea is derived from the name Judah as well, but it means the land. So Judea is the official biblical name of the land of a Jewish people. And the nation Israel should be mentioned, according to Scripture, Judea and not Israel. Because the significance of the name Israel doesn't fit on the present nation. Then let them which be in Judea, the Jewish nation, flee into the mountains. Which means out of the country. It's explained in the following verses. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. He should come down, but not to take anything out of his house. He should come down to flee unto the mountains. Verse 18. Neither let him which is in the field returned back to take his clothes. What should he do then? Well, of course, flee into the mountains. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And this has not only a literal meaning, for if it had only a literal meaning, we should wonder why these things are mentioned here. What is special in this case? We should see that it has a spiritual meaning and has to do with geboorte. It has to do with birth, you see. Not only literal birth, but it has to do with the birth of a new nation, Israel. It has to do with the rebirth of Israel. And these words can be applicated to the whole nation, you see. And woe unto them
that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And I think, that, I'm not sure, but I think that this means that it will be in winter on a Sabbath day. But never mind, verse 21. Why this all? Why should they flee? Why should they flee out of the country? Well, for then shall be great tribulation. Which tribulation? Well, that tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Which tribulation is that? The same tribulation which is mentioned in, let's say, chapter 12 of Daniel. But it is mentioned throughout the prophets. The great tribulation shall begin in the moment in which the abomination of desolation shall be erected in the holy place. Which means that the great tribulation shall begin in the midst of the 70th week of Daniel. So we know when. In the midst of the 70th week. So we see that this tribulation doesn't last 7 years. Some think it to last 7 years. It's not correct. It will begin in the midst of the 70th week, so it will last 3.5 years. But I should make a comment on this. About whom are we speaking? About whom is Daniel 9 speaking? Not of the world. Not of the nations. Not of the church, of course. But it's speaking of Israel. The two tribes, as a matter of fact. The Jewish nation. So we know now how long the tribulation will last for the Jewish nation. Nothing more. Because we know when it begins, in the midst of the 70th week, and we know when it ends. It ends in the end of the 70th week, for then are the, and so on. Huh? And, Daniel 9, verse 24. Then is the kingdom of Christ erected, or begun, that's the better term, in Israel. So that's the end of the tribulation, of course. So there are 3.5 years or 360 days of great tribulation for the Jewish nation. Don't forget, for the new Jewish nation. For if you forget this term, all the prophets will remain dark. I know what I'm saying. I've always thought that the Great Tribulation lasted 3.5 years. And there were many questions left. When shall all these prophecies be fulfilled? There's no room. There's only 3.5 years. And some events which are quite contradictory should appear during the tribulation. During 3.5 years. And how is it possible, for instance, let me ask you this question. How is it possible that Israel as a nation shall preach the gospel of the kingdom to all the nations? How is it possible to do that for Israel when they are themselves unbelievers? For they are unbelievers during the Great Tribulation. If they were believers, there should be no Great Tribulation. That's one of the questions I always have. How is it possible? They are in tribulation because of their unbelief and they are preaching the gospel. That's not possible, you see. Let me ask you another question. The letter from James. To whom is it written? It's very important. Very important. Before reading any verse in the letter, you should know to whom it is written. It is written to 12 tribes which are scattered abroad.
James 1, verse 1. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Well, and from inside information, from the contents of the letter, it appears that these 12 tribes are believers. They are believers. Very simple, study the letter. You will see that those who are addressed are believers. Where is the time in which 12 tribes of Israel are known? Because we know only two, or two and a half. And are believers, and are still scattered, and not gathered to the land. Which time? You see, many think that after this 70th week of Daniel, after the return of Christ on the Mount of Olives, the 1,000 years begin. The kingdom of peace. But that kingdom of peace of 1,000 years is a kingdom in which only converted men, regenerated men, can go in. During which time are they confronted with the gospel? Yes, we know they are to be confronted with the gospel by the preaching of Israel. But when shall Israel do this? In the Great Tribulation? It's impossible, they don't believe the gospel themselves. And when the Great Tribulation has passed, well, there is no room for preaching the gospel, for it is supposed that then the millennial kingdom has started, in which all the nations are converted. There's no room for it, you see. That's the problem. That was my problem once, years ago. A very difficult one, I must say. But the fact is that this all springs from a misconception of the prophecies about the Great Tribulation. You see, this tribulation lasts, in the first place, 3.5 years, in the second half of the 70th week, which means that this is the time of the tribulation for Israel, for the Jewish nation. In fact, the two tribes of Israel. And, well, let's turn again to Matthew 24. It is said in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation." Then means in the midst of the 70th week. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time." The world is the translation of the word cosmos, which means the visible world, the creation as such, nature. "A great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor even ever shall be." And we should see that wherever the tribulation is mentioned in Scripture, it is related to the world, not only to Israel. It isn't said there shall be great tribulation as was not since the beginning of Israel. Well, that's true, but it's not in this verse, you see. Since the beginning of the world. Why such terms? Because the Great Tribulation will come all over the world. Not only of the Jewish nation, but it comes over all the nations. It comes first in Israel, and after that to the other nations. For not only the kingdom begins in Israel and will be spread over the other nations, the tribulation as well begins in Israel and shall be spread over the nations. The wrath of God shall be poured out beginning in Israel and then over the other nations. Which means that from the midst of the 70th week, there shall be great tribulation. But for the Jewish nation, it shall last only 3.5 years. Well, the rest of this verse is telling us this. It is said, verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened,"
there should no flesh be saved. The same kind of saving as is mentioned in verse 13. It means no flesh shall enter the kingdom, of course. The kingdom of God on earth. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Who are the elects? Israel, the elected nation. For them, these days shall be shortened. That doesn't mean that the day has only 20 hours or 18 hours or less, that the day will be shorter. It means that there will be less days, of course. Well, how many days shall there be for the great tribulation of Israel? Very simple. Exactly 1260 days. And we find exactly the same figures in Daniel as well as in Revelation. 1260 days of great tribulation for Israel, for the Jewish nation, for the unbelieving Jewish nation. See, that's all. And for the world, the tribulation shall go on. For the elect's sake, for them, in behalf of them, and only respecting them, those days will be shortened. The tribulation will end first for Israel, and after that the tribulation will end for the other nations. Exactly the same truth as that the kingdom will start first for the church, and after that shall the kingdom start for Israel, and after that for the nations. Exactly the same question. You see? Shortened days, 1260 days of tribulation for Israel only, and after that the tribulation will go on for some period for the other nations. Well, that's the only meaning I can think of regarding this verse. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, when? During those 1260 days. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. A remarkable verse is this. Remember what we have just read in verse 16 and the following verses. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down, and so on. Let them flee out of the land into the desert. When? In the beginning of the tribulation. And now, when the tribulation has begun, it is said, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Well, what's the answer? Verse 26, go not forth. Remarkable, isn't it? Because afterwards it is said, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. That means he isn't in the secret chambers, whatever that may mean. He isn't there. But when it is said, behold, he is in the desert, the answer is not, believe it not. You see? The answer is, go not forth. Why not? Well, I think he is in the desert, but he can't be reached. Why not? Because he could be reached in the first half of this 70th week.
That's what this same chapter told us. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation and so on, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down. Let him which is in the field not return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with shells, and so on. And but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. A flight out of the country, across the borders, you see, into the desert, a desert where there are mountains. As a matter of fact, the place can be pointed on the map. Exactly, the place is known. The place to which Israel shall flee and in which they are safe. The place is referred to even in Revelation chapter 12. I come to that later on today. The fact is that it is said, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. I think he is there, but they cannot flee. They shall go forth to the desert. When? At the most 3.5 years later, when the feet of the Lord shall stand upon Mount of Olives, and the mount shall split, and they shall flee out of the town into the desert. This means that during the 3.5 years of tribulation of Israel, there is no possibility to flee. They should remain in the land, and the only alternative is death. They shall surely die. And only the believers who endure until the end shall be saved. In this case, in the case of the Jewish nation, the end is the end of the 70th week, of course. The end of the whole prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. The fulfilling of the whole prophecy, you see. They shall endure to the end, and then shall they be saved. For, verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, and the east has always to do with the place from where God comes. East in Scripture is the same as origin. It's the same word in Hebrew. The origin of things is the same as the east. And the lightning cometh out of the east, which means out of the origin of things. And the origin of things is always God. That's why the wise men came from the east. And that's why the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah 14, I try to keep it simple, is in the east of Jerusalem. From there the kingdom will come. From there God comes. From there wisdom comes. But from there tribulation comes. For tribulation comes from God. This tribulation comes from God. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming, which is the presence, the same word, parousia, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And the carcass is often mentioned in Scripture, and it refers to the unbelieving Jewish nation, a dead body, it's most often translated. You dead body shall lie on the streets of the town, and so on. The dead body, look it up in your concordance. I have no time to refer to it all. But you can do it for yourself. The dead body, the carcass, is a description of an unbeliever in general, but more in particular, the unbelieving Jewish nation, where the carcass, where the dead body is. Think of the dead body of Ezekiel chapter 37, is it, I think. The dry bones, you know. The dry bones which became a dead body, not a living body, a dead body. And where the dead body is, and the dead body exists today in Israel, in Palestine, you see, in the Middle East. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. You see,
The existence of the Jewish nation today is fulfillment of prophecy, but it is not fulfillment of the promise of God. On the contrary, it is against the will of God. When Antichrist comes, it is the fulfillment of some prophecies of God, but not the fulfillment of his promise. It's against his will. And the same is true for the Jewish nation today. I regret I have to say this. It's true. That what unbelievers build is always against the will of God. And all what we do in unbelief is against the will of God, and shall be destroyed. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And the eagles, well, an eagle, the eagle, is an emblem of the Son of God. And those eagles, these eagles, are emblems of sons of God. You see? And they are the ones who will reign with God or with Christ. And they are involved in the tribulation which shall come over unbelieving nations, not only Israel, but all the other nations as well. And I think that we are involved there. We must be involved there, for we are with Christ already then. We are already with him, because I believe that we are going to be the Lord in the air just at the beginning of the 70th week. But we shall discuss this subject later on. It's time for our bodily needs, as is the English expression. I don't know if there are any notices or something, but then we shall hear of it naturally.